You got reprimanded?
Yeah, I was taken aside.
Okay.
At the pool. I was doing my laps today at the pool.
Right.
And I was given a good talking to.
Like you're 11.
I was taken out to the woodshed. And by a 60-year-old lady.
Were you splashing?
She didn't like the cut of my swim jib.
Right.
Yeah. Apparently, evidently, I was swimming too fast.
Okay.
Which is not really an insult.
Right. Hey, Phelps, slow it down.
Right. No, she said Ian Thorpe. So I guess she's old school.
Hey, Torpedo.
Hey, Mark Spitz. Tone it down a little bit. Yeah. Well, no, I to be fair... No, I'm not going to be fair. Forget being fair. She was way offside.
Okay.
Yeah. I was doing fine, and she claimed I smashed into her. I didn't smash into anybody.
Okay.
She opened the conversation with, hey, you're wearing goggles.
Right.
Which I was, right on my face.
Right. So was that a question or a comment?
I didn't know.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know where she was going with that. So.
But you could, if you were wearing goggles, you could clearly see her.
That's what she's, that was her surmission. Okay. Surmise. That's what she surmised.
Okay.
And I didn't see her.
Right. Because of the incredible speed and rate you were traveling.
Yeah. Even if I did see her, it would have been too late to do anything about it anyway. Because my momentum would have just, I probably would have snapped her spine due to that.
That's what she was scared of.
But the best part was, is ultimately she was done swimming.
Right.
And leaving. And so, also, she would not let me apologize. I tried to apologize, even though I don't think I did anything.
Right.
I tried to apologize, because I'm actually a nice guy.
Yeah.
And she wouldn't let me.
Okay.
And then just left. So, ultimately, I think I ended the conversation with, hey, sweetie, how long are we going to keep doing this? Are we good?
Right.
And then she kind of nodded, and I continued on swimming. So I ended up not having to fight.
Okay. You probably would have lost that one.
Hello and welcome to episode 185 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Vancouver, Canada, and with me as always is...
Adam in my living room.
Right next to me. That seems to be a theme each week.
Yeah.
Guess what? We're both in Vancouver.
This is our version of the live show.
This...
Well, we're live in person with each other.
Thank you for clarifying.
Yeah. We're not airing this live.
No. Because of all the swearing.
Yeah. Via tape delay.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, there's a 72-hour tape delay yeah. on this one, as mandated by NBC. Let's start with Amazon first.
Yes.
Speaking of which, somebody just tweeted us, Mason tweeted us.
Yeah.
He's going to buy the Yong Nuo setup.
Right.
And he wants to know which ones you had. I tweeted him back. And he's going to buy it through our site. So thanks for doing that, Mason.
Do you remember what they are called?
The YN622s.
Yes. And I guess they come in the C version, which is the right. Canon version, and then the N version for Nikon.
Right.
There's no more versions.
There's no S version for Sony?
Not that I know of. No.
Pentax?
No. They took a while to even get around to the Nikon ones. It didn't sound like they were even going to make other ones, but they were so wildly popular that they made the Nikon version. And then he asked about flashes, Yongnuo flashes, which I really don't know much about other than I've heard they're good.
Right.
But I have no experience with them.
My guess is at that price, if you like your Yongnuo trigger so much, hard to miss on the flashes.
Yeah. And there's a huge range from pretty much manual to full ETTL with the high speed sync, the whole meal deal. So I don't know all the numbers in that, but I'm pretty sure you can Google it.
Right. Google it. Your Google is as good as mine.
Yeah. So yeah. There you go.
That's the one Adam has, the 622s. Loves them.
Mm-hmm. And I've had them for now, I don't know, I'm thinking about a year, maybe more.
At least.
And they still function perfectly and they still look new. Much better build quality than the Cactus triggers. And Cactus came out with a new set of triggers that are getting quite good reviews. I don't know about the build quality. I can say that the ones that that I have still have, don't use them, but still have the whatever they are, V5, I want to say, V4 maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, they work. They just built very poorly.
Right. And my alien bees refuse to die. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I have not upgraded to the ETTL ones that you have.
Mm-hmm. So when they do die.
When they do die, I'll probably end up getting those. But for now, everything works great. And I just do full manuals. So
there you go.
What and point being is though is if you do buy new stuff and you buy it through Amazon, go through our site first.
Mm-hmm.
Don't cost you nothing,
mm-hmm.
and we get to keep the show going.
Plus, you get to check out our site.
Check out our site, absolutely.
Yeah.
What's going on, Adam?
Vancouver. I don't know. Same old. Another
the weather. Talk about the weather.
Another day in paradise. No, it's been a pretty amazing stretch. I think I moved out to Vancouver in the late 90s, and I don't think I've seen a stretch of weather as good as we've had in the past 2 weeks.
In July.
Yeah, ever. I don't think I... When I say nice weather, I mean, we get hot weather. This is perfect weather. It's not too hot. It's just perfect. There's always a little bit of a breeze living by the water, so I don't think you could get any more perfect. I would not go anywhere else in the world right now than Vancouver. So there's my my that's a tourist tagline right there.
I tend to agree.
Yeah.
For me, typically, like if I've had, you know, in years past, you know, done wedding videos and photography and that, and people ask me, you know, when should I get married in Vancouver? When should I get married? I say September.
Mm-hmm.
September is always, I'll say always, 99% beautiful here. The weather is amazing. August, also very nice. July can be hit or miss, and it has been phenomenal. So all I'm hoping for is that maybe we get 1 or 2 days of rain, boom, and then a wonderful August and September, the whole rest of the time I'm here. That's what I'm hoping for.
I hope Mother Nature is listening to you right now.
I think she's a fan.
Okay.
Yeah.
She got her shirt.
Yeah.
Send her a freebie.
Yeah. Size small.
Yeah.
Good for her. We'll talk about it more later in the show, but we were at the beach the other day.
Yeah.
And while we were there, one of the kids of one of our friends.
When you say both our families were there, plus some other families.
Adam and I were having a picnic by ourselves at the beach at midnight.
Right.
Sunset.
Yeah.
That's not midnight. We're not in Iceland. So we're a bunch of other families, and one of the kids is, I'm going to go ahead and say, 6.
Sure. I don't know who we're talking
about. Yeah, he's a boy. I'm not going to say his name.
Okay.
But he's 6 years old, and we've hung out with him a few times already on this trip.
Okay.
And past trips, but on this trip in particular. And he said, I took his photo, and he just turned to his mom and said, he doesn't let you look at the picture. Because he'd asked a couple of weeks ago.
I
took a photo, and he said, can I see it? And you know my policy.
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah.
Never. And so he remembered now. And so I thought that was kind of funny that he knows not to even ask anymore.
Right.
Just go live your life.
Go live your life. That's good advice.
Yeah.
To all children, go live your life.
To all people.
Yeah. Especially ladies that tap you on the shoulder at the swimming pool.
I wish I had a photo of her.
Yeah.
No, I don't.
You should have just told her, go live your life.
She was wearing sunglasses in the pool.
Did she have a t-shirt on that said, go live your life?
No, but what I'm thinking is I had proper goggles.
Right.
She had sunglasses and
dry hair. I don't mean to bring this back up.
Like. But she had dry hair. Dry hair.
Yeah.
How fast are you swimming if you have dry hair and sunglasses?
This is a sore spot.
Maybe swimming isn't for you. Yeah. Maybe walking around the mall is more your speed.
Right.
I'm alienating a lot of people now.
Yeah. I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry.
I don't think she's listening.
Yeah.
yeah. Okay. Anyways.
All right.
And if you were Gladys, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
I just shot some photos when we were at the beach. That's all I'm... did I talk about last time going to Castle Fun Park? And did I talk about that on last week's episode? No,
that happened after.
Did it happen after? Yeah. So I went to Castle Fun Park.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wonderville.
I only know it as Castle Fun Park, but basically, I think in whatever city you're in, Castle Fun Park exists in one form or another.
I remember seeing it in The Karate Kid.
Okay. So, there was something very similar. So, mini golf, video games, batting cages, go-karts.
Putt-putt around the world. Some people call it putt-putt.
They have 3 different putt-putt or mini golf courses. So, they have an outdoor and 2 indoor. We played the outdoor because, again, of the fabulous weather, and we've never played played the outdoor before, so it has, you know, the typical windmill and all that. But shot a few photos of the outdoor activities. Didn't even bother with indoor because it's way too dark in there. And what are you going to take a picture of indoors of kid playing video games? Isn't really a keeper. And then our first time ever, my kids were introduced to the wonderful world of go-karting. So they're not old enough to drive the go-kart, but they're allowed to be tag-alongs. I think you have to be at least 10 to drive a go-kart. So Lisa, my wife, my loving wife, drove a go-kart. So she took Sarah. And there's even like a little sort of overlooking spot for you to sit and take photos or stand and take photos from, where they've kind of cut out the cage overlooking the track.
Okay.
So you can take photos. So we did two separate, like, we didn't race. They don't really exactly let you race. They let one car out at a time. So you kind of have to try to catch up. But I stood while Lisa and Sarah went and took some photos of them. And then Jack and I went, and Lisa took photos of Jack and I. So got a few cute pictures of us just kind of action photos going around the track. And that
was that old lady there to tap you on the shoulder, say you're going too fast?
No. I think I got warned for going too slow. No. It was, there was no warning. So we had a good time, but go-karting was a first, and introduced some photography, challenge. So I had taken the, when we packed up to go, we talked about this last week, what do you bring? Well, the only picture I had in mind, and the only reason I brought my camera, was I intended on introducing the kids to go-karting, realized that this was the one photo I wanted to have, and so I took the crop sensor T2i and the 70-200 lens, just figuring I didn't know how close I'd be able to get, and I wanted the maximum reach on the lens. So the crop sensor with the zoom lens would give me whatever the conversion is, 200 millimeters times 1.6, okay, right?
Sort of.
But in my head, I was going to get a longer reach by taking the crop as opposed to taking the full frame.
Again, sort of. In your case, probably.
Okay. So let's not worry about the
math.
How
many megapixels is your T2i?
12, I believe.
And how many is your other one?
I think it's 20.
Okay.
So I don't know the math, but this is the camera I elected to go with.
Yes.
And so took some photos of that, and they turned out nice. I haven't posted anything. I intended to once I talked about it, so I'll post a couple pictures that I took of Sarah and Lisa, and then a couple she took. And so giving the camera to her, as we've talked about in the past, I had to kind of decide where to set it so that she would have the best shot of getting something both in focus, because the go-kart's moving pretty fast, and keeping everything in focus. So I think I ended up going with something like a f6.3 or 7.1, something in that range, and then a shutter speed. I just put in AV mode and a shutter speed somewhere around that was going to give me somewhere between 1250 and 1600, depending on where on the track it was. And then I think I set it to the servo mode so that it would be able to focus track. And I think I just used the autofocus points, like covering the whole map. So,
right. Did you switch on the barrel of the lens? You can choose between the whatever it is, 1.2 meters and 3 meter focus.
I never bothered with that. Would that have made a difference?
Probably. If you switch it to 3 meters, assuming that you'll be at least 3 meters away. Oh,
it's way more than 3 meters away. Yeah.
It basically cuts down a huge range of where the lens can hunt for focus.
Oh, okay.
So by narrowing its zone, it will focus much faster.
Okay.
The downside is you oftentimes forget to switch that over,
right?
And it won't focus to 3 meters in. It'll focus 3 meters exactly, and your subject that's 2 meters away will always be out of focus,
right?
And you'll be scratching your head in front of the client.
Right. Okay. Good tip. So when I looked through the photos, I think there's out of maybe 20 photos that she took of us, maybe one that was missed focus. So that's, I think a pretty good rate considering the go-kart's moving fast.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the miss rate for me was about the same. So I think we did pretty well.
Great.
Yeah.
Look forward to seeing them.
So there you go. What about yourself?
I shot a lot of interesting, it had an interesting week.
Okay.
Just after we recorded last week, went to a outdoor concert. A free outdoor concert at a place called Deep Cove.
Okay.
Which, again, if you're coming to Vancouver, I highly recommend basically everywhere in Vancouver, except the downtown east side.
Mm-hmm.
Even then, I kind of recommend it.
Just check it out.
Just to see, woo, this exists here. But, no, Deep Cove is amazing. Like, it's kind of, it's pretty far out on the North Shore. But then east, is this geography? No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Google it.
I'm doing what I did in geography class, which is tune out.
Which is just get up and leave. Yeah, Adam's out the door. No, and but this place where it is a there's a big hill that looks down onto, well, Deep Cove. It's this deal where the ocean comes in, Indian Arm comes in and cuts around, and it's just a magnificent backdrop. And they put on these free concerts, and this week it happened to be the Beatles tribute band.
Okay,
so everybody knows all the songs, and they're actually pretty good. So I went out there and shot some of that, which was fun. I only mentioned that because it was just one of the most picturesque places you can ever imagine.
Okay.
And very quiet.
So you got some good photos?
Yeah, a few of my kid dancing. So which is difficult to get context. Because the way the sun sets there, because you're looking east, the sun sets on the hill behind you. So everything, the hill that you're sitting on and the stage is all in the shade, very, very, very blue. And then the background where the ocean and the mountains are is all very, very, it's well lit and very, very yellow. So it's kind of a hard situation to shoot, but still very, very nice.
Okay.
Now, actually, we'll see that in the photo challenge coming up later.
An example Can't of that. Wait.
Shot a lot at the beach, but we'll talk about that. That's our topic today.
Oh.
Is the beach.
I'm trying to sound surprised. Oh.
Yeah, no, we're the Leo DiCaprio movie. You know, that's what we're going to talk about. I went to the Vancouver Canadiens game.
That's baseball.
Twice.
Wow. Couldn't get enough.
Couldn't get enough. Yeah, I went once with my family and a bunch of friends. A friend of mine puts on a client event night. So the whole family went. And if you've never been to a baseball game with a 7-month-old and a 3-year-old, give it a try. It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's not.
Okay.
It's pretty hectic. I've never been less relaxed in my life. I've had colonoscopies that relax me more than that. I've never had that.
Yeah. It's getting personal.
But anyways, so I did that. But luckily, now I posted one shot, and actually somebody must have hacked your Facebook because you put something nice on there. And I brought my 85mm lens.
Yeah.
I didn't want to. I struggled with this decision. I was going to bring my 40D and my 30mm, my regular, hey, I don't mind if I leave this on the bus setup.
Right.
But for some reason, I brought my 5D Mark II and my 85.
Okay.
And I basically had to babysit it the entire night. I didn't have anywhere to put it. So I had to keep it on my lap, and I was really choked that I brought it until I snapped that photo of my daughter with the sun behind her lit up. So sometimes it's totally worth the effort, like we talked about.
Yeah, it was a great photo. I normally wouldn't say anything nice, but that was a really good photo. So I am capable of giving credit where it's due, and that was a really good photo, even if you took it.
Yeah. Sometimes even a broken clock is right twice a day.
Yeah.
But that was one of those things where even afterwards I was like, you know, I'm pretty sure that's a good photo, but did I need to bring, would I bring that camera setup again?
Yeah.
Probably not. Even though I got that one photo once, I probably won't do it again. It was more trouble than it was worth, but it was worth it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I did that. And then I ended up going back a couple days later because, I ended up kind of going there on assignment to go and shoot for a blog that's picked up by a newspaper here in town. And the guy, I know the guy who writes the blog, and he needed some good photos. And so I said to him, hey, next time I'm in Vancouver, we'll come out and go to batting practice and do the whole thing, make a day of it. And got our press passes and went and shot around and shot a bunch of stuff and shot the game again, this time without kids, which was nice. Yeah. So I got to shoot a little bit better. And I had a bunch of different things in mind, like, oh, man, some shots I was absolutely going to get. And then found out I didn't have full field access. Like, I thought I'd be wandering around behind the pitcher's mound between innings and stuff. Turns out I was restricted to the stands.
Yeah.
Which sort of, I didn't like that so much. Because I brought my wide-angle lens specifically for that reason, because I thought I would be on the field. And I brought my flash, you know, off-camera flash and the wide-angle lens, and I had some great twilight shots in mind because it's Nat Bailey, the stadium, is a pretty ballpark. And you having never been there, We'll have to fix that this summer because it really is. They call it the prettiest park in all of baseball or something along those lines. They're not wrong. It is a really phenomenal place to go. And so I kind of had something in mind that I couldn't end up shooting. But I did shoot with the long lens, which was a challenge because early the game starts at 7, so we had some pretty harsh sunshine leading into the game. And then a stretch where it was nice. And then where it would fall in behind one of the buildings, it cast a big shadow over part of the field, which was very, very dark compared to the very, very bright. And right. the color balance is off. And then finally, when the sun completely sets or drops down below the horizon anyways, now the lights kick in. And they're not as bright as you would like them. So we're seeing shutter speeds of 1/8,000th in the sun in order to stop the action. And then in the lights, it's going all the way down to 1/250th of a second.
Right.
So all of a sudden, there's not much point in shooting the hitters at that point because it's just a big blur. So I did meet Tim Raines, though.
Yeah.
So that was cool. Met Rock.
Yeah, Montreal Expo Hall of Famer, isn't he?
He's likely.
Yeah, he's not in there, but his name comes up every time now, doesn't it?
Yeah, he's likely. We talked about that. Actually, the guy I was there with was asking about that because there's a little, controversy. Not controversy, but the way it all works is if he doesn't get in after X number of years, like Jack Morris. Is it Jack Morris? I think it was Jack Morris, didn't get in. Now, his window's done. He can't get in now. Just because of the politics of it all. So, we talked about that a little bit, and I saw Carlos Delgado, another former
Blue Jay. Yeah,
so he was there. They both work for the team, the Blue Jays, in which they travel around and go to the Canadians. So, there's that. That's the interesting stuff I shot.
Great.
I got photos of them. I think I can post... I don't care if I can post. I'm going to post them. The one of Carlos Delgado is kind of a snapshot. The only thing remarkable about it is I'm sitting, arm's length away from him. And that's not that remarkable.
No.
But the one of Tim Raines I actually kind of like. So I'll post that one.
Okay.
So there you go. Photo challenge. It's called Community.
Yep.
I don't know how accurate that is.
Okay.
But we talked about it last week about how that sort of sense of summer and the sense of everyone's together, that's what I wanted to get across. I call it a community. It might be inaccurate. Who wants to go first?
It's up to you.
Let's do mine first.
Okay.
All right. So this is what mine is. This is the baseball community. So I shot this at the second time I was at Nat Bailey. This is the third base side, left field bleachers at Nat Bailey as the sun's dipping below. It's still obviously still up. That's the sun just about to set. We're getting that nice golden light in everybody's face. And I just wanted to get a kind of a cross section of the people who attend a Vancouver Canadiens game.
So what lens is this shot with?
This is the 70-200 on the 40D.
Okay.
The reason I had the 40D, and this wasn't to get the extra field of view, the extra reach, like you were talking about, because that's in my case especially, that is a fallacy. It's shooting it on the 5D and cropping it would be pretty much the equivalent.
Okay.
Of shooting it on the 40D. However, when I shoot baseball, I like to shoot with the 40D just because of the frames per second.
Okay.
6.5 versus whatever they advertise on the 5D, which is Mark II, which is, I think, 4.5 or 4 frames a second or whatever it is. I just like getting those extra couple, 2.5 frames per second and passing those through. And I find I don't really need the extra megapixels in this case.
Okay.
I would like a longer lens. I would like a 400mm lens, but I don't have one. So this was shot for
$5,000.
Well, even if I rented it for the day, but I wasn't. I don't think the guy I was working for wanted to foot the $35 to rent the 400. Maybe next time.
Yeah,
we'll put it out there, and then I'll get on the field.
Okay,
that's hopefully what's going to happen.
I like it. Yeah, it's a good photo. Lots of color, and I mean, I think it accomplishes what you set out to accomplish in terms of a cross section of the crowd at a baseball game. You got a pretty good field of view using that that lens from, I guess you must have been pretty far away in order to capture that big of a section of the crowd.
I was in the, I was on the first base dugout. Okay. So across the entire field.
Yeah. So no, I think it looks good. You've got the concessions guy that sort of got the bright yellow shirt that sort of pops out of the crowd. And then that kind of tells the story that this is at some kind of sporting event or concert because of that guy. If you take out the aisle and you take out that guy, then you probably wouldn't have much of a context here. So I like that kind of puts it in context.
Which is a good point, because I do have one without him. And I didn't like it. I pulled it because for that very reason. Because this guy, he is. I mean,
he's like standing up too, it draws your eye there. Yeah,
he is standing up. I had one where there's a little more action going on, but it was kind of unclear what it was, and there was nobody. There was no vendor there, and because the vendor and the guy behind him actually is also a vendor, but he's wearing black.
The only thing better for this kind of picture that I could visualize, and it would be a completely fluky picture to pull off, would just be if you happen to track a foul ball going to a section and get, a bunch of people reaching up or standing up. But that's a one in a million kind of shot that you have to be super lucky shooting it from the distance you're shooting to even get any kind of image in that situation.
And be prepared for it, because I am prepped for shooting on the field.
Yeah.
In terms of what's my shutter speed, aperture, like the whole exposure, and it was different than this. And so this was a situation of I could quickly, adjust and take the shot. And foul balls in the stands at Nat Bailey are very rare.
Okay.
Just because of the way the nets are put out, it's very, very rare. Like maybe one or two a game.
Yeah.
That's it, if that. Yeah. I've been to games where none go in there.
Yeah. And it would have to obviously be on the opposite side of the field for you to grab it too.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, well, job well done, buddy.
Okay, now here's the other one. I just wanted to mention the other shot that
this
I didn't use.
This is the
use.
One with the color balance
issue. This is the color balance issue. This was also community. This was the Deep Cove where the concert was.
Right. You
and that's
the stage.
This is kind of what I had in mind when I suggested the challenge, like this kind of event. Now, I think what I should point out here is that we showed up very, very early for this because I wanted to get, good seats for my kids or But I thought, should I bring lawn chairs?
Yes.
And the answer to me was no, because there's going to be people behind me. And who brings lawn chairs when they have the hill? We'll bring a blanket, and that way everyone else can see. And as you can see, this is before it fills up. Everybody else brought lawn chairs.
Yes.
And sat directly in front of me.
Yeah.
So that's the community I'm shooting here.
You should have brought a ladder.
Yes, two ladders and a big black drape. Just something to hang over and go, no.
Something for shade.
Just
giant sunshade umbrella.
I want to keep the sun off my neck. So, but as you can see, this is a very, very nice location.
Yeah,
and challenging. Where do you throw the white balance? Where does it go?
And where do you balance the exposure? Because the background gets too light and the foreground will get too dark, and so you tried to kind of split the difference halfway. And I don't know where like I don't really know how you could do this where you'd be happy, because I end up thinking that the background's too light here, but at the same time, I think that the second you try to bring that down, I'm going to say that the foreground's too dark. So I don't know how.
And
you
And an HDR or tone mapped or whatever would look kind of fake.
Yeah, exactly. You would know. But I think it's a good shot. And again, it captures the scene, and you clearly see that there's a band down there playing. So I like it. I like the other one better.
Yeah, same here. All right, let's have a look at your photo.
All right.
What is going on here? What is going on here?
This shot, well, you were there.
Yeah, it looks familiar.
Yeah. This shot was taken at in the ocean.
Yes.
At Spanish Banks. Mm-hmm. So we had gone, as you mentioned earlier, we had gone to the beach. And I don't know what this has to do with community other than we were at a beach with a whole bunch of our friends. So that part was very much community oriented, but I had to throw this picture in because I think it's awesome. Yeah.
So, I don't think you think it's awesome in a good way.
No, it's awesome. It's awesome in a whole bunch of different ways. And to paint a word picture for those of you that are listening and haven't seen this photo yet, which is all of you.
Al is swimming, and we kind of, he was out there in the water.
No. People are going to see this picture
before
they hear this.
Okay.
So this is going to be unexplained for a couple of days,
yeah, okay.
And I'm going to seem like,
it's kind of weird, yeah. But anyway, so you're out there swimming. I'm in the water up to my waist with the camera.
But you're not a fan of the ocean, I was told.
No, I'm not at all. So I'm waiting out there in the seaweed and the gunk that's in the bottom there. And you're out there with my daughter, my son, and a couple of other kids out there, and you're playing little games with them. And so then we decide it's a good idea for us to try to take a shot where, you know, you and then Sarah burst out of the water.
Together. The idea was, to put it in context.
Yeah, yeah.
The idea was that her and I would come out of the water together.
Yeah.
She didn't want to do that.
No, she wanted a one-at-a-time sort of deal. Mm-hmm. So you demonstrated first,
mm-hmm.
and I basically picked a spot in the water where I forecasted you to burst out,
right.
Focused there, and then got an appropriate shutter speed and exposure, and then you popped out, and this is the shot we got. So the shot is, it reminds me, you know, I'm a huge fan of the Rocky movie series. And this could not be more Rocky. Yes, if we put some boxing gloves on you, like, that is the Rocky pose.
That's a good point.
And just with the water, like, sort of, you know, going everywhere, and you get the tanker, and, you know, clearly the mountains, is a very blank background, and it just, to me, says Rocky poster.
Mm-hmm.
And, your facial expression, you know, the frozen motion, I just thought, regardless of the subject matter, which is kind of fun to kind of poke fun at you, it's a good photo.
It
pops right out, and I showed it to Lisa, to Sarah. Everyone's like, yeah, it's funny, but it's actually a good photo. So, you know, I thought everyone would get a kick out of it. The listeners would get a kick out of it.
Sure.
So community or no community, it's just good podcasting.
I'm not posting it.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm posting it. Yeah. Come on.
And then I did my daughter's version, and it's funny, like, I almost, as a side by side, we should post that one too. I'll put that one up for people to see. She's got it halfway, doesn't have the arm extension, the water's like matting down her hair over her face, but she's trying to reproduce the same thing. She needs work. She needs some work.
The
on
one
her.
Thing I will point out, her eyes are open.
Yes, yes, her eyes are open.
But she didn't go under the water, though.
No, I think she did.
Well, a little bit. She went partway under.
Yeah, not the way you did.
But I disappeared for a good 5 to 10 minutes.
And you popped up, with full force. So.
Yeah, yeah. No, I didn't go halfway on that. I knew. We're going for the full.
Yeah. And again, just a good time of light where I think it had just gone a little bit behind the clouds. So you get a little bit of a softer light because, you know, for the most part of the day, like, this is done, I don't know, 6-ish, I'm going to guess that we did this.
Probably.
5:36, yeah. Where when the sun's out, like, there's harsh shadows on everybody's faces.
Mm-hmm.
But this was just a time where, again, it was just better light for this photo. And the one of my daughter that I'll post as well is, again, just a little bit of a softer light that we had for maybe 10-15 minutes. So worked out. And then I forget the photo challenge now, just talking about this kind of photo. Like, when we go to the beach, this is my favorite kind of thing to do, whether it's kids running through the water or something like this popping. I love water in motion. Like,
this is my favorite thing too, is jumping out of the water.
Oh yeah. Like a dolphin or something.
Most times I look silly doing it when there's no photographer there.
Yeah. Then people just kind of point and make funny faces. But I just love the frozen water, when, especially with the kids, when they're running along the beach or something, and you can sort of set the stage for a nice photo, but then add that water, and it's just like, now it goes from an okay photo to, oh my God, that is so cool,
it
right?
Is, yeah.
So that's all I wanted to point out. So there you go.
This is my favorite place in Vancouver.
Yes.
Of all the places I rave about, your Deep Cove, your Stanley Parks, everything like this, this is my favorite place because unlike you, I love the ocean. I miss the ocean. I made a pledge that if I were to move back to Vancouver, or when I move back, whatever it is, for the very first year, the first 365 days, I will go in the ocean every single day.
Wow.
Yeah. That's how much I miss having the ocean in Germany.
That's a big promise. The other thing I should point out that I love about this photo that was just, again, lucky more than planned, was there is, other than the one tanker in the top corner, there's nobody out there to kind of distract from the subject matter. Like, sometimes you get a whole bunch of people and someone on a pink floaty or whatever out in the back there. It just happened to be, there was no one back there. So again, I think that that just makes it a better photo. And if only I had thought about it and rotated myself, you know, another 10, 15 degrees, I could have even got that tank run. It would be nothing but the sky, the mountains, the water.
Yep.
And, yeah, but
anyways. I don't mind the tank.
I don't mind it either, complete, but I just like the fact that there's nothing else out there.
The tanker does tie us to Vancouver.
Yes. Yeah.
I know they go elsewhere, but with the mountains and Stanley Park in the background,
you kind of know where it
and
is.
Yeah. That makes exactly Vancouver.
Well, there you go.
Great.
All right. Okay. So
you did post another one.
Yeah, the other one I just threw it in there because I didn't know if you were going to let me use the. so I threw it in there as a backup. So you know, I don't know that we need to talk about it, but this one just a little bit more of a community aspect. So my son and my sister-in-law playing with like a beach toy where you, again it's sort of you know you bounce a you know, funny looking ball back and forth. And so they are playing that. And I just shot that photo as the, oh, hey, I can call this community. It's just, again, it shows the skyline Vancouver, just such a pretty spot, but, nothing exceptional about that photo. Just that I thought, you know, I might get disqualified on account of not having a community based photo.
Right. And also because, you know, I got my shirt off.
Yeah.
No, just, I take my licks, man.
Yeah.
No, I, you know, again, you're right. It's kind of like my second photo where it's, you know, it does show what it is.
Yeah.
You're not framing it.
No.
Whereas
no.
I'm looking at your wall right now, and the picture of me is up there.
Oh, yeah. Poster size.
On your ceiling, which is odd.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Rocky 11.
So I think the good news is this week, no matter which photo wins, I win.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're celebrating.
Yeah, I'm the big winner. I'm the big winner on this one.
Superimpose a title belt on you there.
So this week's topic is the beach.
Great.
And the reason, like, we did our shootout, by the way.
Oh, point out, we did our
super wide shootout.
Stay tuned.
The results are ready. Like but this was so topical because I have been to the beach. I think I was at the beach 3 times this week.
Okay.
And in fact, I came here directly from the beach.
Yeah, there's a bunch of sand in my living room.
You joke, but there's going to be. I guarantee you. I have sand. I don't shower after the beach.
Right. Why would you?
Because I wanted to come smelling like the beach.
Right.
Here, so yeah. I have salt water going on here. So that's the point. I love the beach. How do you shoot at the beach? I think you and I took different approaches.
Okay.
First of all, how many families were at the beach?
Four, five-ish. Yeah.
Something like that.
A bunch of kids.
And so I knew that going in, and I thought to myself, okay, Adam knows I'm coming.
Mm-hmm.
He may think, well, Al's going to bring his camera.
Mm-hmm. So they're more your friends than they are my friends. Like, you've known them for a lot longer. You've got, you know, different relationship than I have. I mean, I've known some of them for a while, but
right.
Through you.
Right. Yeah. But people do like your wife.
Right. That's right.
So,
and my kids.
Yeah. Your kids are pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
I'm a throw-in, basically.
You're like, well, I'd say he's driving, but he didn't drive either.
I think I did. No, yeah. I didn't.
You didn't. Yeah, I drove.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, but you've known them for a long time, and they all like you, and it's got to get mushy.
Yeah.
They're your friends. Now. You can call them your friends.
Yeah.
Much like I call Tim Raines my friend now.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
We're BFFs.
Yeah.
So anyways, it was very possible for you to think, well, Al's going to bring his camera. I'll just take it easy, leave mine at home, forget it.
Yes. I usually would have done that. I just needed a photo challenge picture.
Oh, thankfully you did that, because I was thinking that and thought I was begrudgingly bringing my camera for that reason, because I do want to get good photos, but I also want to enjoy my, you know, swimming time.
Mm-hmm.
And so, so I packed my camera, you packed yours, but we packed a little differently.
Mm-hmm.
I brought my 30 mil on my 40D, the end. What did you bring?
My T2i with the 50 mil.
Oh, okay, so we weren't that far.
No, we weren't that far off.
But you didn't stop there.
Oh, I brought the flash with the trigger.
How many flashes did you bring?
Just one.
It was one.
Yeah.
With the ETTL trigger and...
Yeah.
It wasn't raining. However, you had
I had an umbrella.
Okay.
Didn't really. I used it just because I had it there. I took one or two photos with my wife and her sister with the umbrella, And then that's all I use the umbrella for. I thought maybe it would get some use, but, and again, for me, throwing that in the car along with all the other crap we're bringing to the beach really wasn't a stretch, and I also didn't care about the umbrella, leaving it anywhere, getting it sandy, so
right.
I brought it, but yeah, it didn't really come into play.
Okay, so what's your mindset when, like sort of what we talked about last week, but specifically for the beach, what are you thinking about when you're packing your bag for the beach?
I was just thinking I want to take a photo challenge picture, and so I was thinking I wanted to do a something that would include some people in it, and probably not the 85 on the crop camera was going to give me a pretty narrow field of view, and I thought in all likelihood you'd bring your 40D with 30 mil, so I was right, so I just thought, oh, I'll bring something different, because I figured that way our pictures aren't kind of the same looking. So I thought, okay, I'll bring the 50 mil lens because I'll still have a decent field of view and I can always back up. But, you know, the 50 mil is kind of a good walk around sort of take photos lens.
Especially at the beach, and at this beach in particular, because about this beach is Spanish Banks, we'll go ahead and say it, out by Jericho on that side. It is a very wide open, beaches are tend to be wide open.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go to Kitts Beach, it's kind of the Showtime beach.
Yeah.
And it's a lot more, you know, younger people playing volleyball. It's going to be crowded. Hey, you know, so you're going to get a lot more people in your shot. Spanish Banks, much more wide open. So you can actually use that 50 mil a great advantage. Why the 50 mil and why not the 85 and the full frame, which is pretty much the same field of view?
Yeah, because it was super windy and I didn't want to wreck it. Now, we talked about the fact that in some cases, like if I'm going to go shoot my family specifically, and I really, really want something that I'm going to put on my wall, and I'm going to go to, for example, Gary Point, which is right close to where I live, then I probably do take the 60 and the 85. But in this case, we're going to a barbecue. The photos were going to be a secondary kind of element to why I'm there. And I don't want to really have to care and watch my camera or worry about it. So that coupled with the fact that I knew it was going to be windy, which means the sand's going to be blowing everywhere. Turns out it was incredibly windy with sand blowing everywhere.
Right.
So this way, the 50 mil and the crop sensor camera, I'm not going to worry about it, and then I can shoot kind of freely.
Risk
and
management.
And put it away and not worry about it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that's exactly what. See, I don't even bring a bag.
Yeah.
I don't bring a camera bag.
I did bring a bag.
Yes, you do bring a bag. Yeah. I don't bring one, and mine goes in the bottom of the stroller.
Right.
Right now. That's it. Boom. I don't put it directly in the sand, but if it goes on a blanket on top of the sand, I honestly don't care.
Yeah. And I care more about the lens than I do about the camera body. But at the same time, I brought that lens because of my lenses, that one I care the least about because I use it the least.
See, for me, this is kind of a throwback to last week, but I didn't mention it, is that now I have three camera bodies. When the 40D dies, and it's going to die any day now, like it might not make the trip back with me.
Right.
It might just be buried in my yard. When it dies, I have no use for that 30 mil lens,
right?
Because I only have full frame cameras. So I know that when one of those dies, they're tied together,
right?
And sure, I could probably, you know, sell the 30 mil online, but I'm not going to get very much for it now, because there's been a newer version and blah blah blah. So I figure, you know, I don't mind with either of those get ruined. Hopefully they don't. I'd like to, you know, but here we are. So that's what I took. So now you got your setup. What is your approach when you're shooting at the beach? Now, we got there at around, I'm going to say 3:30-ish. Because the Germany World Cup game was on. And there's no way I was leaving the house until that was settled. And P.S., that was awesome. Everybody knows.
Yeah.
Big surprise. Al's a Germany fan. Not a soccer fan, though. So there's that. I don't have to care about soccer for another 47 months.
Right.
47 months off. Anyway, but that was great. So after the game, we went down to the beach. So at 3:30, 4 o'clock, very sunny day, what's your approach to taking photos?
Don't take many photos. Yeah, because the sun is still pretty overhead, and it was pretty bright. So it's fine if you're going to take sort of a general sort of landscape shot of the beach with the mountains and the water, but as soon as you're trying to shoot a portrait, then you're dealing with pretty harsh light, harsh shadows, lots of contrast.
You did bring your flash, though.
Then that's why I brought it, because I figured if I was going to bother, then I'll use some high-speed sync or maybe some off-camera. I just also didn't know how long we were staying, but as I kind of saw that we were going to be there for a while, then I more or less just waited, put the camera, put the flash away. Unless the kids were doing something that was, like I spoke earlier, really water-related, and there was a stretch where the sun kind of went behind the clouds, and then again, the light sort of evened out for me. But yeah, the approach was wait until the light gets better.
Absolutely. And the same for me is I felt the exact same situation where I'm seeing all my friends, we're all at the beach having a great time, and I want to document this, but I know the light is terrible. I don't know if everyone's going to stay till sunset. I know I'm going to stay till the sun goes down, even though it's going to wreak havoc on my kids. Too bad. Sunsets are awesome. So I know that we're going to stay. I was just praying that everybody was going to stay.
Yeah.
And they did, which was very, very nice. I mean, I had a great time that day.
And I did take some photos earlier, and I did use the flash and high-speed sync. I took a couple of you with your kid and a couple of your wife with the kid, and it looks artificial. Like,
yes.
I sent some of those to you. I think I sent one of your wife with the high-speed sync and one without, and the high-speed sync looks fake. You look at it, and you're like, something's wrong here. Like, absolutely. Even though it's lit and everything, you just know that real light did not do that.
Right.
And then I showed the one which, again, the difference is obviously you can see much more of your son's face clearly with the high speed sync, and there's more in shadow without it, but the one with the shadow actually looks better. And I don't know whether we'll post those or not. I just thought it was a perfect example of sometimes high speed sync is not that awesome, or it just looks fake. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And what my approach is, because I don't bring a flash for that very reason, but I did feel pressure to take photos early on in case not everybody stuck around. So I did want to capture some of the moment. So in that situation, all I do is I basically underexpose by 2/3 of a stop, gives pretty decent blue skies. Yes, we get a few shadows on our subjects, but I can tend to brighten them up a little bit with the slider in either Lightroom or Aperture. Better in Lightroom, P.S. But you can save it a little bit. It's not the same as putting a flash in or bouncing, but you get the idea. And so that's my move. It's just, I tell everybody, 2/3 exposure, minus 2/3 exposure compensation, you're going to get pretty good results.
And I should say that was the high-speed sync done, you know, a close-range, bare flash, where that's a situation where if I, you know, had the wherewithal to grab the umbrella or the patience to tell someone to hold this umbrella and do it in high speed sync, you know, sort of off axis, probably would look a lot more natural,
right?
Look a lot less artificial. But you know, the straight up bare flash, even in high speed from close range, which is what you need to do in order to have enough juice to actually create the effect. Yeah, it doesn't look good always.
Don't get too excited about it.
Yeah.
So you see, when the pictures I posted, I don't know how many there were, but the bulk of them come from later in the evening.
Yes.
As the sun sets. And this is the advice I gave out. So the reason I thought of this topic is because I took family photos of basically every family but yours. But you figured, my kids are playing.
Yeah.
I have about a million family photos.
Yeah, I'm sorted.
Yeah. You have to get more wall space.
Yeah.
That's what you need. But everybody else, you know, they don't all have that opportunity.
Yeah.
And so I said, okay, whoever wants a family photo, boom, come on, come with me. We're going to do it. The light is amazing.
Yeah.
And this was probably about, I would say, 30 minutes before the sun was setting. We had this wonderful golden light that was hitting our subjects. The background was the city, and it was just a great setup.
Yeah.
And so I snapped photos of everybody, and then I asked you to snap one of my family as well, and I'll post that one. Just because it's a great example of what to look for on the beach. So scrolling through most of my pictures, you see they're later in the day or in shade if we could find it. But the photo in question, basically somebody asked me, hey, you know, how do you get that? Because I'd said, like, listen, it's actually fairly, I don't want to say easy, but it is rather simple if you know what you're doing. And then I give a very, very complicated...
When you say, how do you get that, you're going to show me what photo you're talking about? Are you talking about this family photo?
The one that you took.
Yeah, okay.
Now, that's the one I'm going to post right there. That's the one.
Okay.
So how do we get this photo? Now, you know, full disclosure, I set this up entirely, handed you the camera, and you fired away. Mm-hmm. But had I just handed you a blank camera, you'd have taken the same photo.
Yeah.
What I looked for in this situation was I wanted a full... It's not often that you can have an opportunity to take a full-length portrait and have it be not distracting.
Right.
So, in this case, there wasn't very much around us, and I wanted to show the city in the background and still get a full-length portrait. That's what I opted for. But in order to recreate this photo, it's actually very, very simple to do. One, as Adam already said, find a great location. This is a great location. Every part of this, there's nothing in this in this image that I don't like, except for my daughter running away. Besides that, but every element here I happen to like. There's nothing I had to Photoshop out. Secondly, find a good time of day to take this. And really, there's only one time of day you can take this photo, and that's half an hour before the sun sets.
Okay.
If you take this at when the sun comes up, you're going to be backlit. The sun's going to be coming up over the city. So that all of a sudden you don't have a photo anymore. You're shooting the other way, which is probably a nice photo, but you're shooting out.
It's just, you don't get the city.
You don't get the city. So there you go. So those are the two big things that people need to do to take this photo. After that, it gets a little more technical. What else would you recommend to people?
Well, where do you set... Where do you set your aperture?
Before we even get to aperture, let's talk about the lens.
Okay.
What lens would you recommend?
For this photo?
A photo like this. Now, you already told you what lens I use.
Yeah, I probably would use the 50 millimeter.
Either way.
On a full frame, more so than on the crop sensor. Because, I mean, you could do it either way. You just obviously have to back up more on the crop sensor. But if I was choosing, this was the photo I was going to take, what gear would I bring? I'd take the 50 millimeter.
More importantly,
full frame.
You shoot with a prime lens.
Yes.
Why a prime lens?
Just gives me more leeway as far as the amount of light I can let into the lens. So I don't have to worry as much about cranking the ISO. I can always adjust the aperture, and it just takes out another variable to worry about. I can just position myself accordingly, and I don't have to worry about zoom at all.
The colors and the contrast and the sharpness are fantastic on a prime lens.
Yeah, better than a zoom typically.
Better than a zoom. When you go pound for pound, you know, pound for penny, whatever you want to call it, for your money, you're going to get far better results with a prime lens. If you shoot with the $80, it's probably $120 now, the Nifty 50, you're going to get better results than a medium-priced zoom lens. They're just better. There's a reason that I tell you, get a prime, get a prime, get a prime.
Okay.
Get that. So go ahead and do that. Or spend $2,400 on a great zoom lens if you like.
Mm-hmm.
But P.S., spend $380 on a good 50mm 1.4. That's how you get this image. Now, you can recreate this close with the 18-55 kit lens. You're not going to get the sharpness. You're not going to get the colors. You're not going to get the contrast. It's just not going to pop like this does. Now, next you said aperture. Where are you going to set your aperture for a photo like this?
Well, this was taken with your 30mm lens. So everything's going to stay a little bit more in focus than if I'm shooting the 50mm lens. So on the 30mm lens, probably, I know where you actually set this, but I'd probably set this around a 5.6 with that lens just to get, you know, kind of a little bit of some blur happening, but still keep the city part recognizable. I don't want to lose that. This is a context photo. So if I set this at an F4, then with a 30mm, I'm pretty sure I can keep all of you guys in focus, but I'm going to lose more of that background. So probably anywhere between a 5.6 and an F8. I think that's where this is at, right?
This was an F8.
And
you shot everybody's at an f8 so that you wouldn't have any concern about the focus, and clearly you still want the background, so f8's fine. I don't know how much different this would look at an f5.6. I think the differences would be pretty marginal. I mean, you'd certainly see more blur, but I don't think you'd lose the city context at all.
No, with the 30 mil, with the prime lens, going from f5.6 to f8 is going to be a minor difference. Mm-hmm. On a 18-55 cheap zoom lens, going from 5.6 to 8 is going to be a pretty remarkable difference. Still not as good as this lens, but that's where I would start. White balance. Where would you go with white balance?
It's tough because, again, this time of day, the light is going to be very gold. So with all that blue in the background, I'm going to say somewhere around 5,000. It might be a little, you might even have to go a little lower than that.
I'm going to stop you before you talk yourself out of it. It's bang on.
Is it 5,000?
It's exactly, it is, well, daylight, and so it depends, like 5,000, 5,100,
yeah,
depends on the camera.
Yeah, but there's a lot of blue in there, too, so that's going to affect it, so.
But I basically set the white balance knowing that the background's going to be exposed properly, and it does have a hint of blue in it, because of the ocean, the sky, and then the mountains, the way it is. However, I know that low sun is going to produce really golden skin tones, and I want those golden skin tones. You know, that's part of, that tells the story. That really tells us when this was taken. Any other element that you can think of that you can recommend to people for that, to get that photo?
Try to compose it with the thought in mind of what you want to see. So I think a lot of people might take this photo or similar photo with the people right in the center, and then you would lose potentially a lot of that background that you want to see. So, you know, by using a focus and recompose, you know, position your subject such that you can see the parts of the background that are important. So in this example, you want to see some of the beach, and it also gives you some depth, the beach. Mm-hmm. Without the beach, if you're just taking this as a head and shoulder shot, just seeing the city and the water in the background, I think that the image isn't nearly as good. So by having sort of the positioning of the beach and where it meets the water, and then shooting you guys in a focus and recompose, you keep a bunch of that city in, and you also keep the beach in, and then again, it just kind of sets the stage, and it's kind of a rule of thirds photo, right? Mm-hmm. So I think again, it works better that way than if you guys were composed, if the image was composed with you guys dead center.
I shot everybody the same too. So everybody has the exact same photo, essentially, with different families. For that very reason, that's exactly the one other tip that I would give. Now, this is a general tip when you're shooting at the beach and you're shooting late in the evening, like we did. And there's a couple great ones. There's a great one you took of my daughter as well. That I just, like, because, you know, you shared all your photos. I thought, wow, that's great. I mean, I wish I'd taken it. Didn't need to, because you did.
Mm-hmm.
Because somebody actually asked me, hey, how do you take such great photos even when you're in them? And I said, travel with Adam. Bring your co-host with you, man.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it. No, but my general tip in the situation is, unless you're trying to go for something artsy, which I think you did in some that worked out well, keep the sun to your back.
Yes.
When you're shooting into the sun, you're going to get not only backlighting and some kind of weird contrast situations, you're going to get like a really weird color balance too.
Mm-hmm,
you get definitely. This really blue. And it's really hard to make it look good. Now, I think you did shoot a few that I liked.
I shot one of my wife that way.
Yes.
And everything else I shot the other way. And yeah, exactly. It's a funny exposure to deal with, because you're going to either have too dark of a subject or too light of a background. Again, it's that same scenario we were talking about earlier with the photo of the concert. It's like, well, where do you find the balance so that you can see the person but still see the elements of the background that you want? And the answer is, you kind of go somewhere in the middle, and then the picture is kind of meh.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. So when you are keeping your back to the sun at half an hour before the sun sets, what ends up happening?
You get good photos.
You get good photos, but your shadow falls on your
sometimes,
subject.
Sometimes, yeah, that's definitely an issue, yeah.
Pay close attention. That can affect your composition, but definitely pay attention to your own shadow. There's sometimes I leave it in shots I don't really care about,
mm-hmm.
but generally I take it as enough of an angle to make sure I don't fall in there.
Yeah, good advice.
So that's it. Well, the only other tip I can think of for shooting at the beach, don't leave your camera in the car.
Right.
I think your camera's probably safer on your towel while you swim than it is in the car in the parking lot.
I agree.
Okay. That's it. That's it for all the... That's beach shooting right there.
Yay.
Next week's challenge. Do you have one? I have one. So go ahead. Go ahead if you have one.
I was going to just say summer fun because that one's easy and I know I'm going to do some of that. Or water fun, maybe, after all that talk about shooting water pictures. You seem to be at the pool a lot. Something water related.
Well, I'm not allowed back at the pool.
Okay, so then summer related.
Did I mention it?
Yeah, summer related. Let's hear yours and then I can squash it and go with mine.
Oh, mine was on the road because I know you're going on a road trip.
Yeah, but I'm not really going to have any photos on the road. We're going somewhere, and then we're staying there, and then I'm coming back.
Water fun!
Yeah, water fun.
Let's do fun with water. We've done that before, I think, or something similar.
Sure.
There's no problem in repeating.
Yeah.
It's water fun. I'm in.
All right.
Let's do that. Websites, Adam.
Facebook, Two Hosers. Check it out. It's where awesome happens. That's our next t-shirt, Two Hosers, where awesome happens.
We haven't even sold the first t-shirt yet.
Yeah, but we're already coming up with alternative t-shirt branding.
Yeah. We're good at the ideas, just not the execution. That's the issue. No. The t-shirts, a little update. The t-shirt, the store that where people can buy them directly should be up very soon.
Right.
That's the plan. Right. We want to find a good solution where, because right now we've had a few people ask, like this, like in the States, and that, and the current way we would do it is we'd have to ship from Canada. I don't know what shipping's not going to be cheap cross border, and then they're going to have to deal with customs, and I would like to take customs,
all that out of it,
out of the equation.
Absolutely.
So what we're going to try to do is find a solution. I think we have the solution, so
stay tuned.
But this way it eliminates, you can order directly from the country that you're in, I believe, and they ship directly, and that way you can eliminate
customs.
Yeah, what's the name of them? They call the TSA, right?
I don't know.
Whoever they are.
Yeah.
Whoever the people at the border who with the mustache who sort of scare me.
Yeah. Mirrored sunglasses.
Yeah, absolutely. Jack Nicholson in the movie The Border. You know him. We're gonna take them out of the equation. And that will pass the savings on to you, the t-shirt wearer.
Great.
Now what that means is
four of them.
Yeah, I'm doing the pricing right now, and it looks like it'll likely be a higher cost per unit.
Oh no.
By a couple of dollars per t-shirt. However, shipping costs and the no duty will more than make up for it.
Okay.
That will bring the cost way down in that regard.
Okay.
So that's what I'm looking at.
So look forward to an $80 t-shirt.
Well, that's what we're trying to avoid.
Okay, all right.
Yes, don't open up that can of worms. I have a whole story based on a $110 t-shirt.
Yeah, all right.
That, guess what? That's going to be boring. So,
yeah, great. Website?
My website. Yeah. AlanAtridge.com or the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can find everything you want to know about how to not buy a t-shirt.
Yeah. See where I'm valuable to this podcast? Reining you in.
Barely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mission accomplished. Next week, we'll go over our the great wide shootout.
Great.
So look forward to
that. Can't wait.
See what the results are. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.